Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And this is the beginning of Season 4, Episode 1.
Season 4, Episode 1.
Yeah, and in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And today we're talking about Pocket Symphony by Air.
And what songs are we doing today?
We are doing Spacemaker, Once Upon a Time, Hell of a Party, Napalm Love, Mayfair's Song, and Left Bank.
Did you just come up with those in your head?
Yes. This album like the back of my hand.
Then let's start
But before we begin, can I get some things off my chest? When we were doing the OK Computer episode, I had an idea of how that show, the Netflix show, Carol and the End of the World, would have been fitting for a computer, and it would have been called OK Carol. And then another thought I had is, isn't it weird that we don't have long days anymore with the working from home life?
Well, the days might be long, but we don't express it.
Thank you.
That might also be the commute, you know, like you leave work, you commute, you get home and you're like, oh, that's a long day, because the days used to be like longer because you still work and I was thinking this album would have been a good one. I think it's very reminiscent of like our time in Paris.
Yeah.
Which is where we watched
OK Carol
at the end of the world.
Carol at the end of the world.
All right. How does this album relate to their previous album?
Well, this album is Air's fourth studio effort. If their earlier albums were like throwing a stylish party in space, like Moon Safari, then Pocket Symphony is more like meditating with a cup of green tea. It's a mellow, introspective vibe that shows Air doing their thing, but with a chill twist.
Yeah. All right.
What about the next album?
After Pocket Symphony, Air released Love 2 in 2009, and this album marked a bit of a return to the more upbeat, playful kind of sound, with livelier and more accessible kind of songs compared to this introspective and serene vibes of this album.
Yeah, it's their fourth album. So after releasing their previous album, Talkie Walkie, Air went on tour to promote it. And then in 2006, they met Charlotte Gainsbourg, and they helped her make her second album, which is called 555, with producer Nigel Godrick.
And then Jean-Benoit Dunkel also made his own solo album under the name Darkle.
Yeah, it's a good album. And they also contributed to the Late Night Tells compilation series, which featured a mix of 70s film scores, retro synth songs, and other indie artists.
And the title Pocket Symphony comes from journalist Derek Taylor and his description of the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations, that it was a pocket symphony.
Yeah, because it's like multiple songs in one. And so, but the term actually goes back to 1928 and is used to describe a song with an extended form. What are some songs that fall under this category or this term?
They would include Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, The Beatles' A Day in the Life, and
Radiohead's Paranoid Android, like we talked about.
Yeah. Let's talk about the album artwork.
So they're, you know, two wax figurines.
Wax? Oh, wax.
I don't know. I think it's like resin.
Yeah, they look like lucite or resin or...
Yeah. So the cover art was created by artist Javier Vedon. And if maybe it's Xavier.
Yeah.
And it features mini sculptures of Air created with stereolithography. Stereolithography. And they look like they are in someone's nice living room.
Wait, so are these really small?
Yeah. I think it's like 3D printing.
Yeah.
So...
well, it's stereolithography.
Totally. And it looks like something you'd see in a catalog for Blue Dot or something, maybe?
Blue Dot? No.
Sorry.
This looks more like Sky Mall. Like something you'd see in the in those airplane ones where it's like...
That's rude.
I wouldn't put it in my house. What about chart performance of this album?
It reached number 40 on the UK albums chart and number 101 on the billboards and 200 in the US. It also performed better in their home country, France, where it peaked at number 12 on the French albums chart.
So this wasn't a high charter for them.
No, but, okay. You know.
That's what happens when it's mostly instrumental.
It doesn't mean it's bad.
Speaking of, what was your first impression?
My first impression was that it was beautiful, mature, smooth, and dreamy.
Do you think smoothie comes from combining smooth and dreamy?
Possibly.
Smoothie. Smooth and dreamy.
And I got this album when I was in Rome, and I listened to it on repeat for the next 3 months. What a time to be alive.
That's cool. What else did you listen to when you were in Rome during this time?
I don't know, just some of the music that I owned already.
Like Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, and Bjork, and,
okay. You know. I just was curious what else you were listening to that this was something that excited
me.
I
bought the CD in Rome.
Okay. Yeah, it's like very chill, very serene, very demure. But what about the production style?
It's synthy, it's Japanese, and it has funk influences.
That should be the next demure and...
Yeah, Japanese, sure.
What about critical reception?
Critics have mixed feelings. Some thought it was a beautiful zen-like experience, while others missed the catchy hooks of their earlier stuff.
That's always going to happen. You can't please everybody.
Well, like I said, I feel like their albums are just like an evolution of their maturity.
Yeah. But then the next album is much more like their previous albums.
It circles back.
Oh.
Comes full circle.
Like a boomerang.
Yeah, but yeah, I feel like this album is like something you would have like coffee in like in a cafe and talk.
What about
just feels very intellectual and relaxing.
What about influences? Either people that they had influences from or influences on?
Well, the mix of electronic and traditional elements paved the way for other artists to get funky with cultural blends. Think of it as a trendsetter for that whole global chill sound.
Do you agree with that?
Sure.
I mean, global chill existed before this, or did it not? Like that idea of like the combination of global music and chill music?
Yeah, I guess so.
But maybe not. Maybe this just was kind of like the more well-known band kind of putting it out there.
For sure.
How about alternative versions of this album? There's a Japanese edition that includes a bonus track called The Duelist. Do you know this?
Yeah, it's a good song. It has Charlotte Gainsbourg and Jarvis Cocker.
And it was exclusive for this version. And it has a nice... It's a nice little Easter egg for fans who love collecting different versions of albums.
Yeah.
I do.
They have good B-sides.
Beautiful gowns.
And there's a vinyl release for all you vinyl enthusiasts. It was... So given the album's lush ambient soundscapes, listening to it on vinyl can be particularly immersive experience with the warm analog sound complementing the album's serene atmosphere. But I wouldn't know. I never listened to it on record.
We should get it and listen to it.
Yeah, we don't have a record player.
We should get a record player and then listen to every album before we review it. So that becomes part of what we can talk about.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
What are your favorite elements of the album?
Well, Jarvis Cocker, the Pulp guy.
Yeah, he's from Pulp. You know that band?
Yeah.
Common People?
Common People.
Yeah.
And Neil Hannon from The Divine Comedy dropped by to lend their vocals.
Yeah, that's nice of them. And Air didn't just dabble in Japanese instruments. They went full on musical samurai.
Mama.
Learning to play the Koto and the Shamisen for this album.
Do you know both of those instruments?
Yes.
Do you have them?
Oh, do I have them?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, let me just get it from my closet.
What are they? What is a koto?
I think it lays flat down, and it's like several strings. It's a stringed instrument, and it's like a harp. You just strum it.
Hmm. Okay, what about a shamisen?
It looks like a little guitar. or a mandolin.
Okay.
And it's like a square at the bottom.
Oh, like a, I've seen like country, like,
and then it's
like jug bands playing that.
You play it with like this triangular wooden instrument, I think.
Okay.
And
Do you know what a cigar box guitar is?
Plucky thing? No.
Do you know what a cigar box is? Wood. They would cut a hole in it and then turn it into a...
Oh, that's cool. Very innovative.
Yeah.
Well, what else?
I don't know. Let's talk about the songs.
Well, it was produced by Nigel Godrich. Oh. Godrich. He does Radiohead. And so, yeah, it's pretty polished. But yeah, let's talk about the songs.
All right. Let's talk about track one, Spacemaker.
So, as an album track, Spacemaker didn't chart individually.
I feel like none of these really charted.
No.
I mean, the album charted, but, you know, like singles, I don't think they did.
No.
What about your first impression of the song?
Well, this is what Air chose to open the album with, so let's talk about it.
All right.
It's an instrumental piece.
Go on.
That combines melodic synths with funky acoustic instruments. And it sounds like the opening to a TV show, quite cinematic and with its dynamic build-ups. It sounds like something that could be in Tokyo Vice.
Yeah.
Good show.
Good show. It feels like the perfect introduction to the album, as you said. It kind of just sets that calm, like, vibe. Speaking of calm vibe, what's some production?
It has acoustic guitars, piano, synths, bass, vibraphones, and strings.
And the drum and percussion are done by Joey Waronker, who's played with Beck and Arian and has played on Air's previous album, Talkie Walkie.
Yeah, and the strings were done by Joby Talbot. And they really lived up to the title here. The production is spacious and serene, with soft synths and gentle beats that make you feel like you're floating. They even snuck in some Kodo to add that delicate, exotic vibe.
We already talked about that.
We sure did. Let's...
Let's talk... Are there lyrics?
No.
Okay. So it's more about the vibe.
Yeah, and...
How about the meaning?
It's an invitation to clear your head and let the music do its thing. It's all about making space for calm and quiet.
Okay. So it's more whatever it means to you.
Yeah.
And does it have a music video?
There's no official music video for this one, but honestly, if there was, it'd probably be just a slow motion video of a sunrise or waves gently crashing on a beach. Pure tranquility. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I guess I could see that.
As far as the cultural impact goes, Nicola said, it's not the greatest song in the album, but it's the best one to start with. And then JB said, this was a joke title from Pacemaker. Hilarious, huh?
Critics' reviews.
Critics love the vibe on this track. It's often praised as a perfect opener, setting the tone for the whole album with its calm, understated beauty.
How do you feel about this song?
I like it.
Yeah, me too. Any trivia?
This song has been performed 6 times in 2010, and it was in the show.
Wait, 6 times since 2010, or 6 times in 2010?
In 2010. Well, that's it.
All right. What else?
It was on the show Nip Tuck.
Why you don't like that show?
I've never seen it.
Oh, me either.
And it was one of the first tracks Air worked on for the album, and it really sets the tone for the rest of the Pocket Symphony. That's all I'm going to say.
Does the first song that you record set the tone for your albums?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
I didn't mean to give you a headache so fast.
Oh, no.
What about alternate versions or covers or mashups?
There isn't any, but hey, why mess with perfection?
And what about mashups?
I think it'd be cool to mash this track up with Tycho or Bonobo.
Hmm.
Yeah. The one he did at Coachella.
What are listeners saying?
This track is my go-to for Sunday morning. So calming. It's like audio therapy.
I used to have like music that I would play on weekends.
I have good hangover albums.
What would you say they are so we can listen to one tomorrow?
I think the first album by the band Loving is a good hangover one.
Okay, we'll listen to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
What about a cocktail for this song?
Well, classic a classic martini, because it's simple, elegant, and refined.
And what does it pair with?
A light sushi or sashimi, something that's delicate and lets you savor the moment.
Wow.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'll take some right now. All right, track two. What are your first impressions of...
It's Once Upon a Time. And this is the first single off the album, and it's the longest song on the album, and it's my favorite song on the album, so people can just deal. Hey, this is one of the first songs on the album that uses a koto.
I thought the one before did. Okay, anyway, yeah, this song is really nostalgic, and yeah, it's catchy, mellow. What do you love about it?
The first one doesn't have a koto. It just has a shamisen.
Okay.
No. It doesn't even have a koto or a shamisen.
Maybe we were saying that was used in the album.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, this was this.
Yeah, anyway.
Did you talk about the koto?
Don't tell us about it. I asked you what it was earlier.
Yeah, but. It's a Japanese zither or a harp. And so Nicolas said he wanted to learn how to play the shamisen, which is that three-stringed Japanese instrument to introduce the Japanese sound to the music. And when he went to take lessons, he saw the koto, and he fell in love with it. So, this track has a nostalgic feel right from the start. It's catchy, but in a mellow way, like a warm memory that pops up when you least expect it.
That's a good definition, or yeah. A good visual. As far as production, there's piano synths. There's your favorite, a glockenspiel.
Guitar, drum machines, the shamisen. A flute, and the drums are by Tony Allen, who is a Nigerian French drummer who has collaborated with Charlotte Gainsbourg, Damon Albarn, and Fela Kuti. Can you tell me about the lyrics?
Well, the lyrics touch on themes of memory, time, and looking back on the past. It's kind of like flipping through an old photo album, filled with fondness, but also a touch of melancholy.
And then when he says, don't try to be on time, don't try to run after time, time's getting on, time's over now. It just feels like the message is to not try so hard, especially when it comes to time. I mean, after all, time is just a construct, a societal construct. Just another thing to make you feel bad. So just go at your own pace. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. But then sometimes you have to like catch a plane.
Yeah.
So time becomes much more important.
I guess.
You can't just be bohemian all the time about time. Sometimes time matters.
Is there a music video for this?
Yeah. Let's watch it and get into it.
No. We already watched it and... The video was directed by Matthew Tanetti and Jonathan Lagash. And Matthew Tanetti directed their Alphabeta Gaga video.
And can you describe this video?
So it was just like the band, JB, Nicola, and the drummer, Tony Allen, playing on this platform while it revolves and it's dark, but you got these little spotlights. It's just a big perfume commercial. And then you have this geisha. She's the standout part of this video.
And what's she doing?
She's just playing the shamisen. Yeah. And it's like close-ups of her kimono and stuff. And it's just a nice video to look at. No plot.
Yeah.
All look, no plot. That's you. Anyway, did I tell you I can play this on the piano?
No.
Yeah. It's too bad we don't have a piano I could show you.
Well, we'll get one.
Okay.
If you really want one.
For Christmas.
You have a keyboard that sits there unused.
I'm going to use it.
Okay.
What do the critics have to say about this song?
They say that it's one of the highlights of the album, and it's really praised for its strong melody and the way that it balances nostalgia with Air's futuristic sound.
That's cool.
I feel like all their sound is a combination of nostalgia and future.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Well, to give you some trivia, this was performed 10 times from 2007
to... You already said that.
To 2008. I think I did.
Yeah, I said all in 2007. Or was that a different song?
No, it's the previous song.
So they just perform their songs 10 times in the year that they come out, and that's it?
No.
Okay. Get your facts.
Is there any alternate versions of this song?
I feel like it could be mashed up with M83's Midnight City.
That's cool.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, let's okay. Try it. What about, what cocktail would this go good with?
I think it would go amazingly well with while sipping an old fashioned, which is just kind of classic and timeless, like this song.
Or Japanese whiskey. Let's do it. And then you can pair that with a slice of apple pie. What?
Yes, Japanese whiskey and apple pie. That sounds amazing.
Okay, that's just so American. But I guess so.
You think they only got apple pie in America?
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Let's go on to the next track. Track 3 is called One Hell of a Party.
Despite the title, it's kind of more about the morning after than the party itself, wouldn't you say?
Sure is. This is a slow and sad, but not too sad, and I think it's about being hungover.
Ah, so it is the morning after.
Yeah.
You were saying you wished it was instrumental.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the vocals here by Jarvis Cocker from Pulp.
Why? What? You don't think they fit the aesthetic of the music?
Too moody. I don't know.
You were saying something too moody?
It was like too tired. I don't know. It was just like not pretty at all. Sorry. Well,
JB said he wanted Jarvis's vocals because they felt... Air is a very feminine kind of... They make very feminine music. And it needed more of a male crooner voice.
They should have got Tom York.
They should have got you.
Yeah.
What about production? Very stripped back.
Yeah, it's stripped back. It focuses on the creating a moody, intimate atmosphere. And the vocals here at a world
weary. That's how you describe them.
Yeah, edge that fits the song's melancholy perfectly.
But you don't think so.
Mm-mm. It's a little too much.
Who wants to listen to somebody who's world weary? Like, the whole world. Yeah. Weary of the whole world.
It's got piano, synths, and a koto that transports you to a dreamy Zen garden.
And the drums are by Joey Waronker.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah. So the lyrics here paint a picture of loneliness and introspection despite being at a party. It's more
I thought it was the morning after.
Oh, yeah. It's more about the internal struggle than the external. No, it's like, yeah, the morning after.
Okay. What about lyrics? What lyrics do you like?
Oh, man. I like hearing the burnt out husk of the morning strung out with nothing left to say. It's quite poetic, and it really captures that hungover feeling, you know? Husk of the morning,
strung out with nothing left to say. Hearing the burnt out husk of the morning. I feel like that could have been a Morrissey lyric.
That's the song. This is the song that should play every morning, like, after our podcast. When we see empty chip bags and empty glasses, it looks like there's a...
Ice cream, popsicles,
teenage girl sleepover or something.
All right, what about the music video?
There's no music video. But if there was, It'd probably be shot in grainy black and white with lots of shadows and empty space. That sounds creepy.
I think it sounds fitting.
I think it should be like the Marie Antoinette. And you don't see people, you just see rooms with like broken glass.
So like the end of Marie Antoinette.
Maybe you might see some people sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of it as more as The Great.
Oh yeah.
Remember when they would have those big parties and then there'd be a big mess.
Yeah,
the next morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Because your mind has to fill in the gaps. Like, how did those things get there?
I see.
How did those things...
I think it'd be fun to wake up in a room that's... would be fun, too.
Yeah.
And this is another song that was only performed a few times.
Yeah, once in Paris. No, it was only performed once.
Oh.
In Paris in 2010 with Jarvis Cocker on vocals. It was like a Jarvis Cocker night. Something like that.
No loss, no love lost for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've heard him before and I think he sounds all right, but not here. Critics loved the collaboration with Jarvis Cocker, noting that his vocals brought a unique flavor to the track. The minimalist production and emotional depth were also widely praised.
So I guess a lot of people liked him on this song.
Yeah. So to give you some trivia, Jarvis Cocker ended up on this track after he and Air met at a party in Paris?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If I was going to mash this song up, I would mash it up with Radiohead Street Spirit Fade Out. Because we just did that one recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
What do listeners have to say?
User said, this song is like the musical equivalent of an empty dance floor. Beautiful in a lonely kind of way.
A user? Like they're a drug addict?
Yeah. No. That's what you call people on the internet. YouTube user, Spotify user. I don't know. What do you want?
As far as a cocktail, I would say this could be a good whiskey sour.
Whiskey cocktail. Sour. Strong and a little bitter, just like this track.
Yeah.
And then you would pair that with dark chocolate. It's rich and intense. A perfect match for the song's mood.
Whiskey sour and dark chocolate sounds really good.
Yes.
What would you pair it with? What cocktail?
A Gatorade. No. Like a stale beer that's in the fridge.
Now. Okay.
And then I pair it with the a little slice of half-eaten, three-day-old birthday cake.
I can see it now.
It has a cigarette butt in it.
I think this is going to be the art for this.
Awesome. Can't wait.
How about production?
No. How about we talk about the next song? I don't know where you are.
Sorry.
I'm going on to Napalm Love.
Yeah, sorry. I overshot.
And actually, this one is a bop. This track is as beautiful as it is unsettling. There's a less dreamy quality to it, but the darker undertones give it an edge that makes you think twice.
You think it's a bop?
Yeah.
Okay. What about the production makes it boppy?
Well, there's a lot of chorus and it's really cool, and then there's some piano. And someone said that Metroid Prime synth bass pulsating is just sublime.
Metroid Prime synth bass?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
We're gonna have to look that up.
Hey Google, what's a Metroid Prime synth bass?
I don't know.
Go see what she found.
No. Here, how about this? I'll do you one better. And I'll just give you a little.
So I guess Metroid Prime is software?
I guess so.
Okay. I really should have looked this up beforehand. Okay.
Well, the production here is rich and layered with the synths, delicate strings, and a chill vocal line. It's the kind of song that envelops you in atmosphere.
Again, yeah, like a lot of Air songs.
Yeah. So the lyrics here are about contrast, love that it's as beautiful as it is destructive, hence the napalm metaphor. It's intense, passionate, and a little dangerous. What can you tell me about the meaning?
I think it's about exploring this idea of love as a double-edged sword. Something that can both, like, make you feel amazing, but also, like, cut you down. Depending on how it plays out.
For sure. I feel that. I'm falling in love. I'm falling down, down to the ground. These opening lines really capture how devastating love can be. Oh, how defeating love can be. It's like it's like succumbing to an addiction or giving into weakness and temptation.
Tell me what you know about addiction.
It's like when I get a box of Cheez-Its.
Okay.
I open it and I say, I'm just going to have a little bit. And then before you know it, I've been there for 30 minutes just chomping down. I said I'm just going to stop like 6 times now.
Is that what's going through your head when we're supposed to share like a meal? And then I look over and there's like a noodle left?
Yes.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. What did Nicholas say?
Nicholas said it's about the words you use to talk about love. If you list all the words that are used to talk about love, they are often horrible, like falling in love, burning for someone. Like, it's really destructive.
I see. So it's more like the verb that describes love.
Yeah.
Falling, burning.
Yearning.
That's true. Is there a music video for this song?
No, but if there was, I imagine it would be full of smoky, surreal visuals. Something that captures the song's dreamlike yet unsettling vibe.
Sounds like a vampire film.
Yeah, or maybe that scene from Batman Returns where Batman throws napalm at Catwoman.
Did you like that scene?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, how about performances?
This was performed from 2007 to 2008, including a recorded performance at La Plaine Saint-Denis in France.
In France? Okay. It's a track that resonates with those people who love Air's more introspective and moody side. Because I feel like sometimes they can be very, like, moody. And other times it feels kind of more euphoric.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the critics,
they liked it.
Napalm Love for its lush production and the way that it captures the complexity of intense emotions. It's a standout track for those who appreciate a bit of darkness in their music.
Darkness.
Yes.
Maybe a bit of darkness in their Air music. Because, like, I wouldn't call this a dark song.
It's like space clowns.
Clams or clowns?
Clowns. Killer Space Clowns? What's that movie called? Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Something like that.
Yeah. There's a mashup with Jay-Z's 99 Problems.
I mean, who's it been remixed with? Wait, let's listen to that. Okay.
Yeah, and it's been remixed by Lemon Artist, Mutant Tech, and Radio Chrome.
Do you like any of those?
Yeah, I like them all.
Okay. I feel like it could be mashed up with Portishead's Rhodes.
We'll see.
Okay. how about listeners? What do users say about this song?
Listeners, users, people. This song is so hauntingly beautiful. It's like falling in love and getting your heart broken all in one track.
Mm.
And I say, there's something about this song that just sticks with you like a faint dream you are trying to remember. It just feels like something nice you can play.
Who are these people that write this, like, flowery?
At a party.
Like, they're trying to write poetry. What about just, like, this fucking song is awesome?
Yeah, who are they trying to impress here?
I mean, I guess there's your point.
I mean, they made it on this podcast, didn't they?
Yeah.
So there you go.
No, but that's a good point. Why do people comment? why do people comment on things? Is it because they want other people to hear their perspective, because they feel like their perspective offers something to the conversation?
Yeah, everyone's a critic.
What do you comment on online? What are the things that you comment on?
Say, does anyone know what dress Bjork is wearing in this video? Or what was the name of that song in that fashion show?
Do you ever do, like, hateful comments?
No. Why would I? Do you?
No, but...
I feel like you have.
I haven't. I've never done a hateful comment. I've left a helpful comment, like, eat at this restaurant, or...
to that anorexic girl.
I don't comment on Instagram. I'm talking about, like, on Yelp or Google or something.
You do that to models, you know, like...
All right, let's move on. What's the next song? Oh, Cocktail. Oh, lyrics. No.
It's a cocktail. So the cocktail...
I would say it's, a Negroni, because it's, like, bold and a little bitter. What would you say?
For a cocktail for this song?
Yeah.
Napalm. I feel like it's a...
like a spicy margarita?
No, it's a vodka, tequila, and cayenne pepper.
And gin?
A dash of napalm. It just has to burn.
Okay.
Going down. Maybe some whiskey.
It could just be, like, with the smoke coming out, you know?
Yeah, I had a drink like that recently.
You did?
It was neat.
Yeah, so I would say, like... I don't know. What do those pair with? What does something napalmies pair with?
A spicy tuna roll, a little bit of heat, and a smooth finish. Just like the song.
Spicy tuna roll. You don't like spicy tuna rolls.
No, none for me, thanks.
Just because you don't like spicy.
Yeah.
Because you'll eat like 20 tuna rolls.
Yeah, I like tuna.
But, all right. We're almost there. Hold on. It'll be worth it. We're at track 5, Mayfair song. Mayfair. What's your first impression?
This is
Have you been to Mayfair?
I have not.
In the UK? I have.
I don't think so. I don't know. It's all a blur. This is a down-tempo song that's like... taking a slow walk through the Hollywood Hills or Mayfair on a rainy afternoon. It's elegant, a bit moody, and has a subtle charm and that makes it stand out. So what do you know about Mayfair? What is a Mayfair?
It's a part of central London known for luxury, baby. No, it's like Jimi Hendrix, Oscar Wilde have lived there. Although I wouldn't really think of them as luxury. No, I'm saying, like, maybe Oscar Wilde. But it's been filming it's been in films or uses locations in films like Love Actually, 28 Days Later, and Trainspotting.
Iconic.
I think now it's considered very bougie.
Yeah. And Air wrote Mayfair.
Like Beverly Hills. I'm sorry, like Rodeo Drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Air wrote Mayfair a song at Mayfair Studios and recorded it in one day.
And they were trying to get back how they wrote the songs.
They were trying to get back to how they wrote songs with just the bass line when they first started out.
Why'd you let me read your note?
Hey.
All right. As far as production, it's a very polished song.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of their songs are polished, but this one sounds particularly like they've just really like worked on it.
Yes.
And it's cinematic.
Yes.
And it's built around gentle pianos, soft strings, and delicate electronic little signature touches.
Yes, and there's a nice little beat that sounds like air pumping under some piano, vocal pads, xylophone, and synths.
Air pumping under some piano?
Like...
like it's blowing under the piano.
No, I mean it's under the piano, the pads, the xylophone, and the synths.
That doesn't...
It's air. It's like air pumping under it.
Air the band?
No, it was like air.
Oh, I thought you were like... they were under the piano.
It's like air going in like that sound like that.
But pianos don't have that.
Yeah. I guess you're right. Well, this song was only performed once at Electricity Festival in 2008 in La Gatineau, Reims, France.
What do the critics have to say? La Cartanerie. In Reims.
Reims, France.
France.
The critics?
Yes.
So the critics often highlight Mayfair's song for its understated elegance and the way it adds depth to the album. It's praised for its cinematic quality and the way it conjures a specific mood with such minimal lyrics.
What mood does it conjure for you?
It's like neutral. It's not sad or happy. It's just like, just live your life.
Like being present in the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little bit, there's a little bit of suspense.
Is there ennui?
I don't know if that is. Oh, you laugh.
It's like this feeling of apathy.
No.
Because you said not good or bad. I took that as like,
I feel like it's more happy.
Okay.
And what did I say?
I think you said it's time for trivia.
Yeah. Or a personal anecdote I might want to share.
Okay.
Is that Mayfair is so classy, you might feel the urge to sip your tea with your pinky out. I don't know.
Classy?
Anyway.
Like classy legs.
Yeah. We're going to talk about trivia.
Thank you.
So this was in the 2010 film Latin Quarter.
Yeah.
And it's Latin Quarter, Distant Neighborhood, which Aaron did the music for.
Okay. Have you seen that?
You act like I just told you on the running for vice president.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I would like to. It looks good.
Oh, let's watch it. What would you mash this up with?
Maybe Sade Smooth Operator.
Oh, that's so you.
I can hear it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, a listener said that listening to this song makes me feel like I should be wearing a cashmere sweater and discussing fine art. Even though I'm just sitting in my pajamas eating cereal.
Who writes like this?
I don't know.
Someone else said, all these comments are from YouTube, by the way. Someone else said, I put this on and suddenly my cat started judging me like she's some sort of aristocrat. Thanks, Air.
I feel like Athena wrote that.
Oh my gosh. I was just going to say, it shows that childless cat ladies are... It's true that they're...
To what?
That it's... I don't understand what distinguishes them from any other kind of, like, you know, a childless dog date lady.
Childless cat lady who has children.
Yeah.
Snake lady with 5 children. There you go. Thanks, Air.
Let's do track
6. Hey, I want to know what the cocktail is.
Oh, the cocktail. You tell me, what would you drink this with?
It's a glass of champagne. No, not really. Because it's bubbly, refined, and perfect for sipping slowly. No, I'd say like a Earl Grey type of drink, but without alcohol. Mm-hmm. I've had an alcoholic Earl Grey before.
Yeah, me too. What is tea with
alcohol? Oh, London Fog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's some kind of...
With, yeah, maybe scotch?
Yeah. And then, have it...
What would you pair a London Fog with?
A delicate slice of
meat. No, what would you pair it with?
Fish and chips.
A little heavier than I was thinking, but...
Sounds good.
I would have it with, like, a small slice or a small little thing of creme brulee.
Nice. Very good.
Or a chocolate croissant, if it was...
Yes.
Earlier. Croissant.
Croissant.
All right, can we go to track 6 now?
We sure can.
The song is called Left Bank.
Left bank, I'm waiting for someone to be my friend.
Outside, yeah, this is my second favorite song on the album, and there's something cinematic about it. I enjoy it. And so Left Bank is known as Rive Gauche, which is the south side of the Seine River, and or the left side if you're facing west. And it includes the 13th, 14th, and 15th arrondissement and the Eiffel Tower.
We were there.
We were there.
I'm just... I was just trying to think of, I think it's that place where we went to that restaurant that had those flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But it was
It's
really cold by the window. So
it's known for its bohemian atmosphere, cobblestone streets, and historical sites associated with artists, writers, and philosophers.
Yeah, this song feels like a rainy day in Paris. You know, some songs just transport you somewhere.
Yeah, it really does.
I don't know, like in a cafe on a quiet street, having a cocktail and people watching.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
So as far as the production goes, it's smooth and atmospheric, and air layers, acoustic guitars, soft synths, and a soft thumping kick drum. It's got a dreamy quality, like everything is happening in slow motion.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah. What can you tell me about the lyrics?
Well, they are reflective, abstract, touching on themes of longing, distance, and what else?
It's the kind of song that makes you think about what could have been, all while enjoying the beauty of what is and what has come before you, and the context of everything that you are.
As well as where where things are going to go.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
And what about the meaning for the song?
It seems to explore the feeling of being slightly out of sync with the world around you. Like you're observing life from a distance with a mix of curiosity and melancholy.
Ennui.
Ennui.
What about lyric itself?
It's raining, love is not around me. How can it get so cold? Homesick, this is how I feel now. This is how you left me.
Homesick. This is how I feel now. This is how you left me. Without you.
So it felt really relatable when I first heard it, because I was far from home and it was cold and rainy in Europe.
I want to hear more about that.
It seems like someone just got out of a relationship and they're trying to adapt to being in the city amongst other people while feeling lonely. It's like where everything feels dark and sad because of the person's, because of a personal situation you are in.
Have you ever felt dark and sad?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about
it? No. Nicolas said he wrote the song in a hotel room on his guitar after spending the weekend with a crazy French girl who just up and left on a Monday morning.
And then JB said, Nicolas and I are always talking about this non-existent girl that we want to meet, that we'd like to have in our bed. The one who left recently in our minds, I see. Come back, I love you, I've been a naughty boy.
Yeah. Well, as far as the cultural impact of this song, they've only performed this song 3 times.
Or, I'm looking at us.
Of that?
I already said, it kind of makes me feel like I should book a flight to Paris.
Yeah, let's do it.
Any trivia?
It was in the 2014 documentary Mission Blue.
What is that about?
God, I think it has something to do with deep water exploration. Well, any alternate versions or covers of this song?
It's been covered by Dorian Dorlan. It's the Left Bank air cover.
And there's a mashup with Daft Punk's Something About Us?
No, that's what I would mash it up with.
Oh. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I don't know. I like that Daft Punk song. How about listeners?
One listener said, I don't speak French, but this song makes me feel like I do. I can see it.
In the cocktail?
A glass of Bordeaux wine, rich, smooth, and oh so French. What would that pair with?
A croissant. Or some brie like we were having the other day.
Yes, very good.
Just simple, just perfect for savoring.
For sure.
While the song plays in the background, we should have played that as we were like wolfing down 3 pounds of cheese in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
We should be more refined when we eat cheese. You know, like thin slivers, a small piece of cracker. Instead, it's like we're loading up this.
Not watching Sausage Party.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. I want to thank my mom and just everyone out there that listens to this show. See you out in the world. I know where you are. And I want to thank you.
Are you getting awarded something?
And where can you find us now that we can find you?
On all the streaming things. They probably regret letting us in.
Yeah.
And we don't have a website.
So, yeah. Just want to remind you to vote if you're in America. Or
We're going to do episodes before November.
But still, if you're in USA.
Just remember to vote.
Remember to vote.
Your conscience. Vote your conscience.
And, yeah, just love yourself.
Do you love yourself?
Yeah. And
on a scale of 1 to 10, how hot do you think you are?
100.